Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to another episode of the Wonderland on Points podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us. We have an exciting show for you with a surgeon, Jo. She is out there saving lives and earning points.
Yeah, she is. And she is fascinating. We just got through with that interview and I love her. She is so interesting. I could listen to her talk all day. I could listen to her stories and her tips. You guys are going to absolutely love this interview. But first, Mary Ellen, what has been up this week?
Woo, this is a busy week. We are about to leave for our Points and Miles family trip to California. I got a new bag for us gear. I love new gear. A new luggage bag, and I buy way too many bathing suits. Not so much for myself, because that is not fun, but for my toddler and my little girl. I love some matching bathing suits. So, heading to San Diego and Channel Islands National Park, Joshua Tree. I am so pumped for those. And yeah, just kind of gathering all the things, trying to remember all that goes into packing for a family of five to go across the country. What are you doing over there? I see you're like crafty. Tell me what you are crafting.
I am crafting, you guys. So maybe it's not always going to be trip tips that you get from us. Maybe occasionally you're going to get a super budget win. And today, that budget win is that I, in the clearance section of Academy Sports Store, I don't know if you guys have those. I don't know if you do you have Academy where you live?
Yeah, I think we have Academy. Yeah. Okay. I've heard of Academy. I don't know exactly where one is, but I've definitely heard of it. And I see the offers on the Chase offers.
Yes, there are Chase offers. And unfortunately, I did not see a Chase offer when I bought these, but that is okay because I spent so little money that I don't think I really would have gotten much back anyways. I am getting married in September, as we all know, because I talk about it way too much. But
as you should, a bride-to-be.
Okay, all right. I try not to, but, you know, it's just exciting. In the clearance section of Academy, I found high-top white Adidas sneakers on clearance. And at this point, Academy was having a sale 50% off of their clearance price. So they were marked down from 80-something to 50, and then they were 25. And I bought 7 pairs and I took them home. And the next morning I got a text that said, our clearance is now 75% off. And I ran my happy little self right back up to that store. And I said,
yes, you did.
Excuse me, sir. If I return these, can I rebuy them at the new clearance price? And he was such a gem. I felt really weird doing this. I don't like to imposition people. And, you know, it did actually take a little bit. Like, it was kind of the computer was acting funny. Whatever. Doesn't matter. He let me do it. I ended up getting, because I also had a coupon, I got 7 pairs of Adidas shoes for $93. One for all of my bridesmaids and my daughter and her best friend and myself. and I am DIYing them. I'm changing out the shoelaces for a piece of ribbon, and I'm adding this kind of sparkly pearl thing to the Adidas stripes on the side. And this is how I've been doing my entire wedding. It's all just DIY budget stuff. And this was such a big and exciting win that I just really wanted to tell you guys.
I have seen these shoes that you're crafting up, and I think they're so cute. They are going to turn out so precious. I think your bridesmaids are going to love them.
Thank you so much.
They are. They're so cute. I actually have a pair of shoes, which is crazy, that someone gifted me, that I think they bought them on Etsy. They did not DIY them themselves. But so my daughter is part of a cheerleading squad, and I am one of the cheer coaches. Aww. So I know, it's very fun. Our commissioner of our league last year got all the coaches matching Air Force Ones shoes.
And that's a nice gift.
It was a very nice, very generous gift. I am not cool enough to wear these Air Force Ones, but they are so stinking cute. And they're, yes, someone on Etsy put our logo on them for our sports team and just totally made them precious. And so I wear them. And when I wear them, I feel 10 times cooler than I really am.
I love that. And, you know, that's kind of how this whole thing started, is that I wanted these customized bridal shoes on Etsy. I wanted like embroidered Converse or something similar. But you're looking at $100+ per shoe.
Yeah, right?
And I'm sorry, like I love my friends, but not that much. But this is amazing. And I already didn't want anybody to mess with heels. We're literally going to be at a barn in the middle of a giant park. It's just... tennis shoes are the way to go, but you know, you still want to feel pretty and sparkly. And these are white. They're very bridal. I don't know. It was just like the perfect thing. And I happened to cross their path at the perfect time. And there was one in each person's size. I was texting those people.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
It really was. I was like, you guys, give me your shoe size. Everybody, shoe size now. I was standing there like guarding the shoes, hoping nobody else. I was putting things in my cart that I wasn't even sure I was going to take, because I was like, nobody will take these shoes.
Back away. Back away. This is when you went into full bridezilla. Get away from the shoes. Back away from these shoes.
There was not even anybody else in the aisle, but I was so afraid. I was like, somebody's going to see these and they're going to want them because they're cute.
No. I'm envisioning it like Black Friday. There is a massive crowd and you are in a veil because you're a bridezilla and you are pushing people away. That's how I am choosing to see this.
Well, I love that visual. I don't think that's quite how it happened, but we can pretend and I will go along with it. I love it so much.
Well, when you save money on the wedding and when you earn points from buying gifts, that... is how we work the points and miles game for travel.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Let's talk to our friend Kelly. We're pumped for you guys to hear from her, hear how she uses, this is huge, this is really massive, a serious topic that she just hits head on, how she avoids career burnout by using points and miles.
Mm-hmm.
So important.
So important.
Many people going through that constantly.
Yes.
Having something on the books, having a trip on the horizon, it does so much for my mental game when I'm gearing up for 12-hour shifts at the hospital. Sometimes I'm literally like, okay, only four more shifts, only four more 12-hour shifts until I can go on my next trip. It really helps get you through some of the harder days of work.
Absolutely. It resonated with me so much, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. So I think we should just get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. Here is Kelly.
We are so excited to have a very special guest here with us this week. Kelly is joining us. She is at Points and Miles Doc. She is a surgeon during the day and a world traveler the rest of the time. Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I always joke that Being a surgeon is my day and night and weekend and holiday job, which is why I have to go really, really far away to take breaks and vacation.
As soon as I said her day job, I thought, no, there's night shift and it's not just a day job.
That's right.
Funny because right before you came on, we were like, how does she have time to go anywhere? I mean, we know the life of a surgeon must be so demanding and nonstop. So it is so impressive to me that not only are you a surgeon, but you also have time to make great content. Like, where do you find the time?
I was inspired to start my Instagram and start making content because I noticed I was talking a lot about points and miles at home and at work, and people in the operating room kept having to listen to me over and over and over. And I was like, I better make an outlet for this so that I'm not driving people crazy just talking about this all the time. But it's been really fun, and kind of have found this community of other medical professionals who also recognize the need that, like, we need time off. Burnout is rampant in healthcare. We need time off. We need to make sure we have boundaries and protected so we can continue doing what we do to take care of others. And to do that, we have to take care of ourselves first. So it's been a really fun journey. I think I've had the Instagram for about a year and a half. I totally learned it brand new. I wasn't on Instagram at all before that.
Wow.
And, definitely asked my young, medical students and residents how to get started because they had so much more knowledge than I did. But it's been a really fun journey meeting people that way.
That is so impressive and so relatable because I don't know if you could have guessed, but that's how we ended up with a podcast. We were, we were wearing on our friends and family a little bit with the points talk. And so I was like, who wants to do this with me? Who wants to just talk to people who actually care? And here we are.
People who want to listen to it.
Yes, 100%.
So when did you start just with the points and miles? When did you start realizing that you could capitalize on these credit card welcome bonuses? Like, how did you get into that?
Yeah, I wish I had realized it sooner. I think all of us say that once you get really into it, of course. I had some knowledge that you could turn credit card spend into points very early on. I grew up in Dallas, as an American Airlines hub. My parents had an AA credit card when I was a kid, and I have an A Advantage account from like 1991. So I had this concept. I was a child at the time, and we actually didn't fly that much, but I had this concept that, like, oh, you can spend on credit cards and then you can get something for it. But I didn't really get into points and miles until much later. It was 2015, actually. I remember exactly how it happened because my spouse is in footwear development and flies all over the world for this.
What a cool job.
Super cool job. At the end of 2015, was given an email offer to buy up to American Airlines Executive Platinum. Like, she had earned enough for certain status, but to get over the hump, was offered pay a little bit more and get executive platinum status.
Wow. I was
like, what does this even mean? And she knew a little bit about status and lounges and traveling and business class, but together we really didn't know. So I just started Googling, like, buy up to executive platinum status. And the points guy popped up, had an article directly on the topic, like, should you buy up to executive platinum status?
They this always have an article on anything you need.
Do. Yes. And then he was still writing a lot of the articles, or his, like, core group of really, like, intelligent, knowledgeable writers. And that was the day I just went down the rabbit hole. I think I spent about 8 hours reading content on the site. That's how you had to get the information then. You had to read. I went on Flyer Talk, learned about the forums, and started getting into it. And that's how I learned you can open multiple credit cards to get points and learned about transferable points. And it really took off from there. So since 2015, since then, I've kept track of our redemptions, and I've redeemed over 5 million points for about $350,000 worth of travel.
Wow.
Now that's over, you know, almost 10 years at this point, but it still just shows amazing. What you can do. Yeah. And even on a surgeon's salary, this is stuff that we wouldn't otherwise be able to afford, or at least not afford like to this extent, not to the level and not to the frequency. So it's been really fun. And the field of points and miles just constantly changing. And so it's fun to keep up with and constantly try new things.
Oh my goodness. See, this is why I tell people to write down so you can look back on the redemptions that you've made and really get an idea of how much money you've saved. It is so, so cool to be able to see that as one big number. That is incredible. I know that you talk a lot about career burnout, and I am not a surgeon. I am a household manager. I work for people like you running their homes. But everybody can experience career burnout. And I was at the point with my career where I thought that I fully wanted to change careers because I was so burnt out. And what it turned out it actually was is that I hadn't taken any time off or taken a vacation in 3 years because I could not afford it. So there just wasn't a point. And finding points and miles not only renewed my love for my job, but it opened up an entire world. It, you know, allowed me to find this community. And now I'm taking my family and my daughter on trips. And so I love that that's kind of like a focus for you. And I'd love to know more just for you, how you use points and miles to help other people avoid career burnout. And just like kind of tell us about that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yes, burnout is not unique to medicine. I think lots of people work really hard and need a break from what they're doing and also have student debt. I think what is a little more unique about fields that have graduate degrees is people just come out in more and more debt. And the more and more debt you have, the more of a crunch you could feel where, well, I can't take time off. I have to work. I have to only pay down my debt. And it's a real struggle for a lot of people. Mm. So I think, especially for young people in medicine who are struggling with debt, I think points and miles are fantastic just for completely offsetting the costs of travel so that you can divert your cash money into, you know, paying back your loans and getting rid of that burden. And so that's, you know, how I like to talk about it to our young people in medicine. When it's later on and physicians are out in practice and maybe you're like catching up, you know, oh, I've put things off for 20 years and now I want to be able to have these experiences. Then it's offsetting the cost maybe of experiential travel so that you can pay for the things that you want to do. So I think you can grow with points and miles wherever you are. In your studies, in your career, and then you know, as your income changes, maybe as your career changes, it grows with you and it becomes whatever it is that you need it to become.
Absolutely. I think that's what's so fascinating about it is it's just people from all different places, all different careers, and it's beneficial to all of us in different ways, but no less magical for each one of us, I think.
That's right. I think it's exciting for everybody when you make that redemption. You always get a little bit of a rush, a little anxiety, you know, it's still always there, even if you've been doing it a long time.
It's the best adrenaline rush. You brought up such a great topic when you were explaining that, and that is student loan debt.
Yeah.
And you, though, on your Instagram, I've seen you kind of turn it on its toes a little bit and find ways to earn points through paying off your student loans, which is awesome. Take that evil of student loans and get something good from it. So how have you been doing that? Tell people, because I know there are so many listeners out there who do still have lingering student debt that just doesn't seem to go away. So how can we at least make a little bit of a positive from that and earn some points? Before we dive back into the heart of today's episode, we want to hear from you. Do you have any questions about travel, credit cards, or anything else that we've covered on a podcast episode? We are here to help.
go ahead and reach out to us at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com with any of your questions, thoughts, or even just to say hello. We absolutely love connecting with our listeners, and your inquiries could be featured on future episodes.
If you're looking to maximize your credit card strategy for travel rewards, take advantage of our free credit card consultation. Whether you are a seasoned points collector or you're just starting your journey, we're here to provide personalized advice to elevate your travel experience.
All you have to do is shoot us an email, again, at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com, and go ahead and throw in the subject line credit card consultation, and let's start a conversation about how you can unlock the full potential of credit cards for your next adventure.
We absolutely love hearing from our Wonderland on Points community, and we are so excited to connect with you. Okay, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and to that point, not only student loans, but turning everything historically bad into something good with points like taxes or rent. Now we have the ability to earn points on rent. Now we have the ability to earn points on student loans relatively risk-free. Those things are opening up a lot of access for people. So I'll talk about the student loans in particular. I've been out of med school 17 years, so I'm lucky. I've paid them off a while ago. But for people who still have loans, there's a fairly new service in the past couple of years called Gift of College. And some people are familiar with the concept of using your credit cards to buy gift cards, you know, earning points to buy those gift cards and then using those gift cards for something else. And that's what Gift of College actually is. The intent of it was that if you have a graduate, you know, from high school or college, you could buy them Gift of College gift cards and they can put that money towards their student loans.
But
it can be used if you're meeting a welcome offer on a credit card, or if you have a high bonus category on a credit card, like groceries or gas stations, you can buy these gift cards not only in physical locations, but also online. The fees, if you do it the right way and you really optimize the point earning, the fees are less than 2%, sometimes as low as 1.3 or 1.7% based on where you're buying them. And so that can be a really nice return if you're buying the gift cards at a grocery store, for example, and maybe you're using like an Amex Gold and earning 4 points per dollar on that gift card and then turning it around, applying it to your loan. Like that totally pays for itself. At the end of the year, you're going to have a whole chunk of points on something that you otherwise had to spend money on anyway. The nice thing about this service is that the money goes directly to your loan issuer through the program. So it's not a third party doing like a processing. Gift of College actually links directly to your student loan issuer, and then you put the money into the program. So it seems very, very safe from everything that I have experienced.
It sounds like a great option.
It does. And I've heard a couple different ways that people have figured out to use gift cards to pay student loans, but I haven't actually heard of that specific thing, which is a little wild to me. I would think that would be everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. You know, student loans have been this place to break into for the longest time, but the federal student loans, there's actually laws that say federal student loan servicers can't collect credit card fees. And so, or basically they can't collect credit card payments. So the credit card issuers don't get rich on the fees. I'm like, yeah, only the federal government can get rich on the back of the students, not the credit card companies. But
so get me started.
Yeah, right. So there hasn't been a way in to the student loan game until the past couple of years with this Gift of College program.
Wow. That is absolutely fascinating. I only have like $4,000 left for my degree that I'm clearly not even using now. But well, you know, I started going to college for communication, so I guess I kind of am.
Hey, there you go.
You are using it. It's back.
I am directly. Finally. At 33, that just clicked for me. How exciting.
Look at that. You could like open a card, buy $4,000 worth of gift cards, like meet your welcome offer, apply it to your loan, and boom, you're done. And you made a whole bunch of points off of it.
Honestly, I'm probably going to. I've kind of, for a while, you know, they were doing the thing where it could just sit there and there was no penalty. Yes. So that took the back burner to like quickly paying off cars and stuff that still had big old payments on it. I'm just trying to have absolutely zero consumer debt of any kind, which, you know, that's another awesome. Thing. This yeah. is a little derailment, but I feel like that is in line with this entire world. It teaches you not to have any credit card balances.
Yes.
And I think that's what's so amazing is that it just teaches you financial literacy in a bunch of different areas. But that's really exciting about the student loans.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And so the more options there are for people with student loans and renters, it's so great because historically that was just money coming out that you couldn't get a return on. And now you can pay your normal expenses and then get a trip out of it at the end of the year. So yes. I love that.
I love it too. I saw on your Instagram, Amex, all over the place. And it spoke to me because I just got my first Amex card. I've been very much a Chase person prior to this. And that's been my main focus. And I was like, ooh, she's like a super Amex person. And I love it because I hadn't really realized how fantastic this group of cards was. And so I want to know, since I now have the Amex Gold, what do you like the most about Amex and this group of cards?
Well, Amex has been very generous in what we call the points parade for the past couple years. They've been very generous with their welcome offers. They, if you have the right combination of cards, there's a bonus category for almost everything that people in the U.S. spend money on a regular basis, like on the gold, the restaurants, the grocery stores. So I think they have a great card lineup. The downside is they have high annual fees. They tend to have the coupon book where your credits are spread out every month throughout the year and it's harder to use. So there's some pros and cons for sure. But I'm kind of an equal opportunity card opener. If somebody gives me a great welcome offer, like that's what I'm going for this time. And it could be in any system. We just saw the Capital One Venture X Business with that amazing offer, 150,000 points for 20K spend.
Yes.
It's a high amount of spend at baseline, but it's certainly more attainable than a $30,000 spend, especially around tax time. So when these great offers come along, I'm just going for it. And Amex has been very generous with their offers over the past couple of years. I also really like their transfer partners. You know, they have ANA, which is unique to them, where you can do the round the world tickets.
Yes.
And they have really low rates when you do a round trip. They also have Avianca, the Life Miles, which is a great Star Alliance partner. And if you can find Saver Award at Aeroplan, you can often find it a little bit less expensive in Avianca. So they just have a lot of programs that I like to use. And since I'm able to regenerate so many of them, I do find myself using them probably the most. Yeah.
It seems like their points are going to be so easy to earn with stuff like four times on groceries. I mean, that alone was kind of my selling point for that card.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, that is really cool. And I've noticed that with Amex transfer partners, it always seems to be way lower taxes and fees versus Chase transfer partners. Because I'll kind of look on these different flight searching apps for any of the currencies that I have. And I can go places on Chase points where the taxes are $200+. And then you see a Life Miles flight and it's $5 or $10 for these taxes. It's a huge difference.
So, yeah, those programs that don't pass along taxes and fees, I mean, those can be really, really valuable. And to your point with the Amex cards, if you have, you know, they've got the platinum with the five times on flights and then the gold with the four on groceries and gas and then the green even, which a lot of people don't talk about, but three times points on all travel and then a Blue Business Plus, two times points on everything. You stack those up together and you're earning really the maximum amount in every category that's possible for most cards out there. So
Yeah, I didn't they have even a nice know there was structure. A blue. I've never even yes. heard of the blue.
We got to get you the Blue Business Plus $0 annual fee. Usually doesn't have a huge welcome offer, but 2x points on everything up to $50,000 a year.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
It's no brainer. Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking into it. Give me your link.
You got it. Thank you.
You mentioned all of the transfer partners that Amex has, and I know that you have flown some pretty awesome. I was looking at your Instagram, actually. You've been to like how many states? Like 49 states yeah. you've been to?
49 states. North Dakota is my one remaining state. Oh, so I'm sorry for the listeners in North Dakota. I'm going to get there someday, I promise.
But you've been to countries all over the world, and you have done a lot of business class flights on those international flights. So of those Amex partners that you mentioned, which airlines like stuck out to you, particularly impressed you? Like which ones do you have become your favorites?
Oh yeah. Well, anyone that gives me a lie flat seat, I'm totally, totally into. I think, you know, as I've gotten older and operating more and more and more, my body just hurts more. And I think people, again, in healthcare can really relate, or any kind of caregiver can relate to this. So business class has been really what I look for now when I'm going on vacation, because it means I can start my vacation right when I leave. I'm not like, oh, I'll just get there. Like, no, I need to lie down. I need some space. I need to sleep. I need to rest and not be crunched up. And that actually helps me turn it into a vacation. So really what I'm using my points for a lot is the long haul international business class. Some of my favorite programs, I think the Air France Flying Blue program is really, really easy to use. And they have the calendar view so you can search through multiple dates. For SkyTeam Airlines, we flew China Airlines, which is a Taiwanese airline. Don't be confused. And it's a really, really lovely airline that we flew last summer. Another one, we flew EVA Airlines, which is another Taiwanese airline that we booked through Life Miles because it's a Star Alliance partner. I actually haven't even flown Air France yet or KLM. I'm going to in the next year, which I'm very excited. But the fact you can use these programs and never actually fly the airline is something that's really funny to me. Yeah. And then when I get the chance to fly things like an international first class, like Emirates first class, ANA first class, and Singapore suites, which I've been lucky enough to fly all of those. Those are just like aspirational products that I will, if it fits into a trip, great, but I will work a little hard to fit it into a trip, you know, because it's like a big part of the trip.
Yeah.
All those products are fantastic.
Is any of those the ones with the shower? Or is that the Qatar Q Suites?
No, Emirates first has the shower. I took a shower on the plane. It's wild.
That is so crazy. I feel like it's one of those things that there is absolutely no need to do, but you would want to do it just because you can.
Absolutely. Oh. When I get on a plane, I'm like, okay, I need to experience everything that they offer. I need to eat all the food. I need to drink all the drinks. I need to have the bed turned down so I can sleep. But so I'm just constantly, I need to take a shower. I need to go to the bar, you know? So it's all these, I amp myself up and then I'm like, oh, I don't have enough time to really fully experience this flight.
That would be me for sure. Like I would plan an overnight flight thinking, oh, I have a lie flat seat. I should plan this so I can sleep the whole time and be fresh when we arrive. I would not. I would be too excited.
Push all the buttons, watch all the movies. Yes absolutely.
How far out are you booking your business class flights to get really good redemption value?
Yeah. Great question. So I'm one of those people that has to book my schedule really far in advance. I actually make the schedule for our division. I'm the division director. So I'm lucky that I get to, I tell my colleagues, I'm like, everybody just put your vacations on the calendar and we'll all divide up the work around it. But also we book patients out like 4, 6, sometimes 7 months in advance for surgery. So I really just need that time blocked in advance. So that's usually when I'm looking for tickets. I'll look right when the schedule opens. I'll look 11 months out. I appreciate the programs that, you know, like Qatar, for example, opens, I think, 360 or 361 days out. And they usually have a few seats of availability when they open in their own program. Whereas a program like American, you can book Qatar Q Suites through American at a wonderful rate, but they don't open until 330 days out. And so usually some of that early availability is gone. It pops up later on without any rhyme or reason to it. But I'll try to book very far out. And then if something better, like if it's not the ideal schedule or it's not the ideal flight, if something better comes along throughout the year, you know, I'll look for it. I'll set alerts in Expert Flyer, or I'll just, you know, search every now and then to make sure that I have what I want. The bad thing about booking so far out is there can be schedule changes. And so you may be looking for something else closer in anyway, but that's fine. I mean, I'd rather have something set that maybe I have to work around. And then if I have to fix it later, rather than not have anything at all booked and be scrambling at the last minute.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of these, is that almost everything on Points and Miles seems to be very easily refundable or changeable. Yes. So that's pretty nice. What was that thing you just mentioned? Expert Flyer. I don't know what that is. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Expert Flyer is this program where you can – it basically pulls up seat maps. So you can put in a flight or an airline and you can pull up a seat map and it'll tell you what is available. And what's important about this is it tells you what fare classes are available. And fare classes tell you when awards are available or when upgrades are available. And if you subscribe, I think it's, I don't know, $100 a year, they'll send you alerts. So you can say, hey, I'm looking for an upgrade award on this flight within these few days and set an alert. And if something opens up, boom, they'll send you an email. Even if you're just looking for a better seat, like maybe you have a middle seat, but you really wanted a window, you can set an alert for that specific seat and it'll email you.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I have a few alerts like set now for just for things like that. It would be better flights, you know, than what I have now. And it might never open and that's fine. But at least if it does open, I'll get the email and then I can investigate if it's something that's still available or something I could do.
Definitely. That sounds well worth the subscription money for sure. You were talking earlier about the American Airlines status, and I'm curious which airlines you have status with and if you feel like status with certain airlines is better than others.
Yeah, well, so we've been American flyers, you know, like I mentioned, my whole life, essentially. Yes. A little after birth, but yeah. And so luckily I've always lived in an AA hub or friendly area. Like I was in Texas a long time, in Dallas, and then I was in Boston for 10 years, and I've been in Los Angeles for a while as well. So AA has had a good footprint. But I like earning status in American Airlines because they're Oneworld. And Oneworld is it's a great airline alliance. You know, it's got JAL, it's got British Airways. It just has all these really nice airlines, but it's harder to earn their points. Mm-hmm, it seems like a lot of the transferable points, like Chase has United and a lot of Star Alliance, and Amex has Delta and some SkyTeam and also a lot of Star Alliance. AA has really never been a transfer partner of anybody. They were built for a few years and now we all know that's going away.
It's so sad.
Which is a bummer. You know, AA has had co-branded cards with Citi for like 30 years and they've never been a transfer partner. So I don't know. It just makes their miles like harder to earn. You can't earn it just from credit card spend. So if we can earn it from flying and using shopping portals and doing things actually with the airline, then I think it provides this really well-rounded opportunity to have point capabilities in every alliance. Yes. And AA may not be the right airline for you based on your location, but if it is, I think it's probably one of the better ones to patronize.
So you like their status? You feel like it has a lot of perks?
I do. You know, being especially at the high level, you get international lounge access, and at Executive Platinum, Platinum Pro, that's One World Emerald. So you get first class lounge access. Ooh. When you travel internationally, even if you're on an economy ticket.
So it's,
there you
so
go.
That's the thing about status, is no matter what ticket type you're on, if you're flying internationally, you get those perks. You get into the lounges, you get priority check-in, so really short lines, things like that. So having that status has been helpful, even when we're flying maybe another airline. Like we went to Jordan a few years ago and flew Royal Jordanian, which is a One World airline, and got the perks of having the status. We don't have status in any other airline. We would take advantage of a status match if the opportunity arose, but it just hasn't ever come up.
Yeah. Well, we learned literally in an earlier recording today that we could have been earning American points by linking it. Wait, was it American with our with Shell?
Yeah.
Shell gas stations. We did not know. And we feel a little silly. 3 points per gallon, I think, is what. I mean, yeah. I drive so much. So American is tricky, but there are ways. And it's nice to hear that the status is really worth it there.
I was just going to ask another question, and I don't even know how you will answer it, because you have been to so many places. But maybe within the last couple years, to narrow it down, tell us about one or two of your just favorite places that you've been, that points of miles have taken you.
Yeah.
Is that even possible?
I mean, I love everywhere equally, right? Just like people love their children. There are some trips that really stand out as just being really special. One, we actually just returned from India. We did a tiger safari in Rajasthan, and that was incredible. So we flew Qatar Q Suites from LA to Doha to Delhi. And then coming home, flew Singapore Suites from Delhi to Singapore, and then Singapore Business Class from Singapore to LA.
Wow.
India was just a really special place. I was always nervous about going to India because I don't like crowds and I don't like heat. And my impression was that that's what it was. And that was not a fair impression. It was lovely. We were in the country. It was cool. It was dry. It was wonderful. I can't wait to go back.
What time of year was that?
It was in February.
Okay. I'm very interested in a trip to India. So good to know a good time of year that is not hot, because that is a fear of mine as well.
I just kind of wither away in the heat. But we also know, I think this is another thing, as I've gotten older, we're tending to veer away from big cities. I mean, big cities are cool. We all want to visit like Tokyo and Seoul, and those cities are amazing. But I think for us, like a real vacation is maybe getting out of the cities and more into the country and experiencing nature.
Yes, absolutely.
That makes us happy. Last year, we went to Mongolia, which is one of the least populated countries in the world. I think after Greenland is number two, like people per square mile. And that was fantastic. That was beautiful and cool. And we stayed in Gurs, which are the yurts that they move. And you don't think, oh, Mongolia, points and miles, we can get there. But you can get close. Like we got to Seoul on points. We flew EVA Air there. We flew China Airlines back. And then it was only a 3-hour flight from Seoul to Ulaanbaatar, the capital. So I always tell people, like, if you can't get to your final destination on points, it's fine. Just get somewhere really close within a few hour flight. And then and pay cash for the rest. And that's totally fine.
Do you find your goal is to just go places? Are you trying to cross off every country? Like, is that one of the primary motivations for where you choose to go?
I don't think so. Not to cross off every country, but just I do keep a list of places that I'm interested in.
Okay.
And I actually recommend people do this too, because I think it's really easy to get FOMO when you look at like Instagram. Oh, yeah. And everybody's going here and you're like, wow, that looks so amazing. But maybe it's not really a place you wanted to go, but all of a sudden you're spending like your points on it. And that's totally fine if you want to go to these places. But I think having a list like focuses you. So when the opportunity arises to go where you want to go, then you can, you know, jump on that.
That resonates with me so much, yeah. Because I just canceled a trip that I had booked on points and miles to Hawaii for our family, because I realized at first we were going there because it was a good deal. And then time passed and things changed and it really wasn't a good deal anymore. Like our flights were going to be way too many points. And I started thinking, I was like, this isn't even a place that, I mean, I do want to go to Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii because I'm from the East Coast. So I want to go there, but it's really nowhere near the top of my list. And so I was like, why are we spending all these points? And it's not even one of our top destinations. And I think some of it was, it's like, oh, well, that's where people.
That's what we do.
Want to go. So right, we got to go to Hawaii. Right. And it's like, wait a minute. That's actually not where we want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Hawaii looks gorgeous and amazing. And I'm sure for a family, like you can use points to make it work in a very economical way. But the truth is, like, if you're traveling, it's still expensive in one way or the other, like whether it's the food or whether it's the transit, even that you can't necessarily offset completely. So you have to make sure you still want to make an investment in those places wherever you're going.
So what's on your agenda for 2024? What do you have on the horizon? I'm sure you have some exciting places booked.
I'm excited about this year because I really went overboard. And I think, you know, during COVID, like none of us took any time off. And all of our PTO like really, really built up. And I'm salaried. I work for a major institution. And, you know, we earn PTO. And then at a certain point, it caps out. You can't earn anymore.
Oh,
you can't
wow.
roll over anymore. And you can't cash it out. So literally, if you don't take time off, like you're not getting part of your paycheck. And
oh, you have to.
Yes, yes. So finally this year, I was like, oh, okay, I'm just like going to spend so much of it. And work hard in the other time so I, you know, meet my goals and whatnot. But so we just got back from India, and at the end of next month, I'm actually going on a trip with some medical school friends to Portugal, which I've always wanted to go to.
Very neat. And is that just a pleasure trip for fun, or is it like a medical trip where you're doing medical aid?
Yeah, just a leisure trip. Actually, when I got back from India, I turned around and went on a medical trip to Doha. Because we were doing some program building with a hospital there, which was really cool. Very interesting place. They have lots of money. And so they build lots of things, but they don't necessarily have the healthcare practitioners there. So it's really, really interesting to go. But after Portugal, we're going to Scotland. My wife and I, we're doing a trip where we're hiking around the Highlands. A couple years ago, we did a trip where we walked across England. There's a coast-to-coast trail where you can walk across the whole
thing.
It's on
my list.
And yeah, oh, awesome. It was so cool. Getting up and just walking every single day was like so mind-clearing. And so now we're doing the same thing with the same company in Scotland. It'll be more of a roundabout rather than a cross, but yeah.
Can I ask which company you're using? I have a list with one on it. I want to know if it's the same one. I'd love to know.
Yeah, they're called Country Walkers. They are based in Vermont, but they do these walks all around the world. And so really, really fantastic. It's like supported walk where they'll take your stuff to the next hotel for the day. And then you just have to walk.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of this.
The one that I...
It's amazing.
The company that I have heard people have used is called Contours. And it's exactly the same. But it is more like you're staying at inns and maybe even hostels, so not hotels. So I'm wondering if maybe Country Walkers, is that what you said? Country Walkers?
Country walkers, yeah.
Okay. I'm wondering maybe if that's like the next level up, where if you don't maybe necessarily want to share a room with other people, that's where you go.
I think, yes, going back to that, like, I need to be comfortable and not in pain when I'm traveling. And we do prefer hotels at this point and not camping, though I did trick my wife into a trip a couple years ago. We went to the Arctic and we actually camped on the sea ice. It was a polar bear safari.
What? And, I didn't even know there was such thing as a polar bear safari.
I didn't know either. Every now and then I'll go to the travel show. You know how they'll have like the travel show in the big cities, and it's a lot of junk, but it's also, there's some good inspiration there. And you find out about these things you can do that you didn't otherwise know about. So there's a few places in Canada where you can go see the polar bears, and this was one of them. And we actually used points like to get all the way to Ottawa, and then, you know, took small planes up into the Arctic.
What? Wow. When you say you tricked her, did you not tell her you were camping on the ice?
You know, it wasn't an intentional trick. I think there was, we both thought there would be some heated facilities, but no, there were not heated facilities.
Oh.
But it was fine. It was fine. It was amazing. It was very cold, but it was incredible. We did see polar bears and narwhals and bowhead whales, which are bigger than humpbacks.
Oh my gosh.
It was incredible.
That sounds amazing. I don't know if I could do the cold though, like that.
Up there, there's so little infrastructure, you know, there's not a choice. So you could kind of see a theme in our travels here is like out in nature or the middle of nowhere and maybe looking at animals is kind of like what to me is super relaxing, you know.
Absolutely. And I guess since you like the business class and the lie flat seats, do you have brands of hotels that you particularly love? Do you love like a super fancy hotel as well? Or are you okay with the budget hotel? What makes a vacation for you in terms of places to stay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we will do a little bit of both depending on what we need. If we stay at a nice hotel and then we're out all day long doing things and don't get to enjoy the hotel, it feels like a waste. So yes. If we're staying at a nice hotel, we like to have like a hotel enjoyment day where we just kind of enjoy the amenities of the hotel. But I have globalist status with Hyatt that I got through the challenge with American Airlines status last year. And then my wife has titanium status with Marriott because she's been a long time. She was a SPG high-level elite before they were bought by Marriott, the Starwood program, and then has just continued in that. So we typically will use those programs if there is a reasonable like accommodation with those. Mm-hmm. And then if we're going all out or going to a place like in India, we stayed in an Aman property, the Aman Bagh, which was this gorgeous hotel. And there's two in the US, I think three now. They just opened one in New York. And they're completely like unaffordable in the US. But if you go to their international locations, you can get the experience for a much lower price. And that was a really, really special stay.
That is exciting. That's why I was sending Mary Ellen hotels in India, Hyatt's in India. Like
she was.
Very nice, top tier, middle yes. of nowhere, like in the jungle, the most just opulent looking hotels. And I was like, how are these like 15,000 points a night? We have yes. to go to India. What is this?
One of the things we learned in India was that, you know, before colonialism or maybe as colonialism was falling, I'm not sure, but some of the royalty, you know, they had these castles and then or palaces and weren't sure what to do with them. And so to make money, they sold them to hotel chains or hotel proprietors.
Wow. So
some of these big forts, like there's an Alila in Rajasthan, which is a Hyatt property, which is in a fort. It's a literal fort.
I'm pretty sure that's one of the ones I sent.
Yes. Those are beautiful and low point value. And it's somebody's like former palace, essentially.
I did not know that.
That's incredible. She might be selling me on India. Well, at first when she sent me these, I was like, you know what, Joanna? I'm not real interested in India. You know, I'm not sure if that's for me, but you guys are really selling me.
It was a great trip. So I can't say enough good things about it. And now I'm like, you know, doing point searches just to look at trends on how I can get back there in a couple years, you know, even though we don't have time coming up.
I love that. Jo, one last question for you. Looking ahead for the rest of 2024, what is your point strategy for this year? Where do you think you're going to go? Is there a card that you, I mean, you have had, at this point, you've been in the points and miles game for a long time. I feel like you have gotten every card that you can get. So what is your plan for 2024? Are there any cards that are catching your eye this year?
Yeah, well, I was over 524 for a long time, which, you know, as you know, restricts you from getting chase cards because I'm that person who jumps on any good welcome offer. I don't necessarily try to keep myself below it, but I'm under it for the first time in several years. So I do plan on opening a couple of chase business cards for the welcome offers. I've had a Chase Sapphire Reserve like since it came out. That is my, you know, like hardworking card. I'm constantly using it. I'll never churn that one, but I will open the business cards. And then I'm probably going to pick up a built card this year.
Yes.
So gosh, you know, I don't rent, but their transfer bonuses, they just keep making so appealing. How can anybody like not want to be involved in their program?
100%.
Yes.
Well, so, and they say mortgages are on the horizon. So I'm not a renter either. We own our home and I am just like chomping at the bit for them to announce that you can earn points for paying your mortgage because I'm going to be all over that.
Absolutely. So I think I'm going to pick up Built this year. And then a little bit more random, I might pick up a Miles and More Lufthansa credit card this year. And
wow.
You might think, what the heck? That is totally off the rails. Like, it's not transferable currency. It's a co-branded card. What on earth? So Miles and More is the program for Lufthansa and Swiss. And they actually have really, really great redemptions, but it's just so hard to earn points because they're not a transfer partner with anybody. There was actually a promotion a couple months ago where you could buy like a large amount of points for close to 1 cent per point. So it was a really great deal because I've always wanted to fly Lufthansa first class. And the only way to do it with partners is to book at the last minute. I can't do that. So I booked it for a trip coming back from South Africa later in 2024. And so I have these points in the system now. And to keep them alive, if you have their credit card open, it helps like keep the points expiration date going. So
gotcha.
I get totally random reason. But
it's a good one, though.
It's a cool program, and they have lots of Star Alliance partner availability as well. I would say more so than the Star Alliance partners we have access to with transferable points. So that's probably on the horizon too.
Okay, those are fascinating answers. I know when you were talking about Built, I was remembering at the beginning of this year, they had some like transfer bonus for one day, and I was sick to my stomach. That I had no points to transfer because I don't have anything. The only thing hooked up to Built for me is my Lyft account. So when we travel and have to take Lyft,
yes.
I am earning some Built points and some Chase Sapphire preferred currency that way. But I was like, oh, I need to be prepared next year. That was crazy. I wanted to actually see some stories from some people who did that and how many they were able to transfer. But I didn't see anybody talk about that besides announcing it was happening. So I don't know.
Yeah. You know, Richard Kerr is somebody I follow. He was at the Points Guy and now he does a podcast called Miles to Go and of course has his own account and works for Built. But he, I think, flew his whole family in Air France business class with that transfer bonus for some ridiculous amount of miles. So
he's
a good person to follow for the Built transfer bonuses. But it just shows you don't have to have that many points to be able to get somewhere fascinating.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like the fact that you've already shouted someone out is actually a perfect point to bring us to the part of our show where we love to ask you to shout out creators that you follow in this space that you love or that you've learned from that we can share with our listeners.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a couple of email lists that I follow, Frequent Miler is a fantastic resource, of course. And 1 mile at a time. They're the two like emails that I get every single day where you can scroll through and get a whole bunch of info all at once. That's and then great. Some creators, I love the points analyst. He's kind of always, he lives in Switzerland. He's American, but lives in Switzerland. He's always posting really interesting deals. And he has a free business class alert list you can sign up for.
That's super cool.
Yeah, he's really cool. And then there's another physician I follow called Only Points. What's really interesting about her story, within a year, they were able to amass like millions of points and go on these wild trips. So just to show you, like, you can just get started and get right into it. So that's who I'm kind of listening to right now.
I love that. We're going to tag all of that in the show notes so that our listeners can go find them as well. And we're also going to tag you up in the show notes. Do you want to let people know where they can find you on the internet?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm Points and Miles Doc, and also have a website of the same name, pointsandmilesdoc.com. I actually do have a list of like free resources you can download. I have a spreadsheet where you can keep track of your redemptions if you want, and then credit card links if you don't have any other affiliates or creators to open through.
That's awesome. You have all the things. I did not even know you had a website. So we'll drop that in the show notes as well, because that is a great resource. We love a free spreadsheet.
Love a spreadsheet.
Absolutely. So much, because I don't want to make my own, but I do want to have one. So
it's true.
I'm just too tired, which is funny, me saying that to a surgeon who's made the spreadsheet for everybody.
No, it's all good. I'm well rested today in particular. Amazing. So I feel great.
Well, that's very good to know.
Well, thank you so much for spending your valuable time off with us. We feel so honored. And
yes,
we do love talking points and miles with anybody who will listen, because our spouses are sick of it. And so thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thank you. This was great. And as a friend of the pod now, if you ever want to come back and tell us about these amazing trips that you have coming up, we love to do deep dive episodes where people like talk us through one or two places they've been in great detail. Cool. So you're always welcome to come back and share with us about those. We would love to have you.
I would take you up on that. Love it. I love logistics. Amazing. So I could talk again about it all day long and drive everyone crazy unless they want to listen.
Not us. Never us. This is a safe space. Well, thank you so, so much. We really appreciate you.
See you next time, everybody.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going, so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com, and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.